Him and his wife are both sick still, but they're doing better. They should be fine next week. And the stuff that's going around. So we have to be careful, everybody. Don't be coughing on each other. I've been coughing for about 3 weeks with something. I have no idea what it is. So I finally go to the doctor this week to get something to try to solve this problem. And I get a 12-year-old who's a physician's assistant, and she has no idea what's going on. And she might have been 14. I don't know, but you know, that's what it looked like. So I go to get my blood pressure done with those machines, and it turns out that my blood pressure is 83 over 50. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty low. And they go, yeah, the machine must be broke. So they bring in another machine. I do it with a second machine, and it's 80 over 50. And they're like, well, this ain't right. So then they do it old-time way, you know, by hand, and it was 80 over 50. So I had to get my medicines adjusted, and hopefully I'll find out this afternoon if it's come up a little bit. 80 over 50. They said, how are you walking? I said, well, it's a little dizzy every once in a while. And when I go outside, everything is really bright. But anyway, so we're doing fine. And the most important thing is we have two clocks back there, so we can't go over now. We got to get that time right. But yeah, there we go. Somebody just gave me that. Perfect. They're both wrong. All right. Today, I would like to talk about something that causes a lot of folks who don't understand grace, who don't understand their position in Christ, to stumble, to get confused, to get frustrated, to not know how to handle it, to not know how to deal with it. And that is the fact that we have two natures as believers. There is our saved nature, which is that cannot sin, and there's our old nature, which some of us and all of us partake in and sin, and things happen all the time. Now, if you don't understand how this all comes together, it can be very, very frustrating for you. And when you get frustrated, you lose your ability to be an ambassador for Christ. You spend the time with your head down. You spend your time unhappy. You spend your time frustrated. And this Christian thing is difficult to do, and I don't know what to do, and they get confused. Let's understand something. Now, I'll be sucking down these lemon things all day, so I'll have to do those. But let's understand something. Modern religion doesn't understand this, and they want to hold your sins over you as a hammer to make you do what they want to have done. Instead of understanding where we are in Christ and how it all comes together, they would beat you over the head with it to control you and own you, and that's a very sad state of affairs. They don't understand. Beautiful artwork that Scott put up here, okay? They don't understand that the death for our sins, this is very simple. But it's very difficult for people because our ego's in it and because we're trying to win favor with God by doing this or doing that. And we spend our entire lives trying to perform. And the sad part is God says no. Death, burial, resurrection. Believe that that happened and you are justified. And when you are justified, you are as pure as God Himself. That's the program. That gives us and that empowers us to do wonderful things for Christ. That empowers us to do the right thing. That empowers us to think naturally in a better state. But that doesn't get rid of our old nature. I still have my old nature. Ask my wife. It hasn't all gone. Most of it's gone, but you know, there's still a little bit. All right. So let's go to our papers and let's learn something today on how we can handle this better. For many Christians, understanding their two natures is very frustrating. After being saved, we have two natures within us. One that can do no wrong and another that can do no good. That's the reality. This battle is a very real issue and one that can be very discouraging if it's misunderstood. Underline this one. Many Christians have led unhappy and unproductive lives because they have not been able to live up to the standards they believe are necessary to serve God. That happens all the time for millions and millions of people. And they show up on Sunday, they show up on Wednesday, they show up on all the every service is available, they're showing up because they want to be able to serve God. And they're hindered by the whole thing. By focusing in the wrong place and misunderstanding our grace relationship, they become easily discouraged and depressed. I put this in bold. This leaves them unable to serve God and be an ambassador for Christ. Okay? We're going to learn about these natures. We're going to learn about what we need to do when we fail, because, hey, we're going to fail. We're going to fail while we're sitting in class here. I mean, the reality is we're going to deal with these issues. To be truly spiritual, a believer must recognize the presence of both natures in us. Only then can they realize how to deal with them in victory. Okay, Paul deals with the old nature in a number of passages. Let's take a look at it. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 15. We'll start there. And I'm putting my water up in the corner here, which bugs my wife because she can't see me. But I can't put it anywhere else. Yeah, if I put it over here, I'll knock it over. I'm always on the wrong side, babe. All right, Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. This is Paul talking. Sold under sin. For that which I do, excuse me, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that I do it, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul talks about this because it's a real fight. Okay, he's our apostle. He's the guy who understood all this stuff. He's the guy who was communicating directly with God. Yet this is the stuff he was wrestling with. You think you're going to wrestle with some of this stuff? How many times have you thought about something and thought about something and you know you shouldn't be doing it and you thought about something and you thought about something and you did it anyway? Yeah, that's it. It's the reality that we all face. But that doesn't mean it has to control us. It doesn't mean we can't overcome these things, but it does mean that it's part of our lives. And it's going to continue to be part of our lives. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, just a little further down, 18 through 21. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to do it right. I want to get something done the way it should be done, but I don't do it. Okay? No, you're not the only one. This room is full of folks just like that. For the good that I would... This is tough to read sometimes, sorry. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is not nor... Excuse me. Is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's the reality. We still have our old sin nature. That's not going anywhere until we're out of here. Dead man can't sin. When I'm dead, I can't sin. Until then, I sin all the time. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Do you ever feel that when you're starting to do something right and you start seeing God try to pull you Satan trying to pull you a different direction? Yeah, you don't need to do that. That's not for you. Let somebody else do that. Yeah, let somebody else do that. How many times have you heard that in your head? Opportunity shows up. Somebody needs some help. Oh, let somebody else handle it. Okay? All the time. I still feel bad about the time Joe hit the cooler when we were coming to church and there was a cooler in the interstate and we came around it and Irma went around it. I said, you know, we should stop and get that cooler out of the road. And we said, no one's going to hit it. And Joe hit it like 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, he was behind it. I'll never forget that. And it messed his car up and it cost him a lot of money. We should have got the...
$940.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Friend. Yeah, see? Bob missed it. I missed it. None of us got out of there. Anyway, that's a very funny example. But the point is, we wrestle with that all the time. There are opportunities to do good all the time that we look the other way, we go the other way, we do something else instead. Because it's just easier. Oh, that's really not for me. I shouldn't be messing with that. And you go and do something else. Okay? Yet, some of the greatest blessings you'll ever have in your life is when you stop to help somebody else. When you have an opportunity and you reach out to them and you do something else. Those are wonderful moments in life. Those are so joyful. And it's so wonderful to have. This daily struggle I've got written down here is part of our lives because we still have our old nature with us. The old nature has no redeeming value. It is completely evil and has no chance to ever being good. We will never change it, only manage it while we're still on earth. That's the reality. How many times do you go to bed at night and think evil thoughts? Okay? Now, let's be honest, okay? Yeah. I mean, you're laying there and you're just thinking of all these little things and they're all in your head. And, you know, and the reality is, let's be honest, for men it's probably a sexual thought, whatever, okay? But the reality is it goes on in their head. And that happens. There we go. Bob Sinker. Hi. There we go. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. These are the things. This is Paul lays out some of the examples of what these sins are. So we recognize them. He doesn't lay these things out here so that we don't understand them. He lays them out so we can recognize them. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, thank you, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Oh man, has somebody done you wrong and you can't get rid of it? I mean, for years, I've been there. I am there. There's some things that have been done to me. It's like, God, I'll never forgive him for that. Never. You know, crazy. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition. Turn my paper here. Heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and as such like of these, which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are sins. If we've understood our position in Christ and accepted what he did for us, that's not going to keep us out of heaven. But if we don't, any of those are going to keep you out of heaven. He tries to list them all there so people kind of recognize the fact that it doesn't matter what it is. It can be murdering, it can be salaciousness, it can be whatever. They're all sins. They're all negative. Yeah, cause that. Yep. It's our natural state. This is our spiritual state. Our natural state, yes. Mm-hmm. It's done. It's a done deal. And you know what? We all have our second nature, our natural nature, to do things we know they're wrong, and we do them and we feel bad about them. What do we do at that point? Well, if I can rectify the situation with somebody, if I've hurt somebody, I'm going to go to them and say, I'm sorry, here's what happened, here's what my thinking was, I was wrong, or whatever it might be. If it has nothing to do with that, I might, as Irma talked and I talked about this week, I might say, I'm sorry, God, because I do feel bad about it. It has nothing to do with my position. It has nothing to do with this. It has to do with how I want to respond to God. I want to mention it to clear my own mind about it and say, yeah, okay, let's do something better, certainly. But it has nothing to do with God looking back at me. He looks back at Dave and goes, Dave, you're fine. You're perfect. And I go, yeah, but I did this. He goes, you're perfect. Hmm? Yeah, what are you talking about? Isn't that wonderful? And that becomes our empowering sense of what we can do in this world, and the difference we can make is because we are totally pure from a godly perspective. And when you are totally pure from a godly perspective, you don't spend your time focused on the mistakes you make. You solve them, you move forward, you understand them, you move forward, you don't do them again, you move forward, but you don't spend your life muddling in the gutter. Because muddling in the gutter is not going to help anybody in the world in any way, shape, or form. Including yourself. You cannot beat yourself up enough to make God happy with you. Possible. He's either happy with you because you've accepted the finished work of Christ, or you're out. It's as simple as that. No matter what happens. And that becomes so empowering. That is so radically different than what religion teaches. Religion, Catholicism, oh boy, especially Catholicism. Let's get to the works here. Let's show up. Let's do this. Let's take the Eucharist. Let's put the money in the thing. Let's pray for these people. Let's light some more candles. Whatever it is, there's a million things there. The Baptist, I better get in there and I better confess my sins and come forward again, you know, and then get baptized. And all these things have to be done for you to win favor with God. And your whole life is spent full of angst. There are millions of people in these counties around here that are going to church this morning because they feel they have to, because they got to make sure they're okay with God. This is expected of me. I better show up. I better give my tithing. I better do something else. I better be the person who brings in some food believe me, I don't do this food to win favor with God, and thank God you guys don't judge me on it. But you know, the stuff we do in the morning. You know why I do it? Because I like doing it. It's fun to do. It's fun to bring stuff in. I try to come up with new stuff, and it's pretty boring, my menu, but I've got five things in. The cyclone. Yeah, exactly. The pizza thing I got to do next. You're right. I got breakfast pizza. I got to bring that back. Anyway, the point is, I do it because I like doing it. Okay?
Hey.
I am here because I love the fellowship.
Hey.
I love learning. I love sharing things. I love understanding things. I love working with people. I love joking with people. You know, even if Trish is such a mud, you know, stick in the mud back there, I do my best to try to joke with her. She's going to give me the time signal right now. She's going to get out now, go. The point is, our motivation is the love of Christ, not the fear of God.
Amen.
The fear I have of God is respect.
Amen.
I have a fear, we call it fear, whatever, a respect for God, but it's not the fear of God punishing me, it is the love of God that can push me forward. And that's understanding your second nature, because guess what? I'm going to sin the minute I get out of here. Okay? As children of God, we have come out of this. It was our background. The evil natural man is not done away with or eliminated when we are saved, as many people believe. I know people who said to me, "You're saved. Why did you do that?" Like, for some reason, I was not supposed to do something or think some way or act some way or respond to something some way. "Well, you're saved. Why did you do that?" Because I still have my old nature. Okay? God has forgiven me, and I'm going to have to ask you to forgive me because I just got upset about something. Whatever, okay? It is a really daily condition that we deal with that by design can never be made good. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. This is where we are. And we're here because of what Christ did, not because of something I did. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24. "That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Like studying, like understanding, like being here, like learning, like sharing. "And that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." We put on that new man the more we learn. We study. I come to this Bible study, and I go away with nuggets of new knowledge. Nuggets of new ways to look at something. I've heard that verse for a million years, and now I see it differently. That's what happens here. And I leave here with my heart being filled, as Scott was talking about, being filled with what salvation is all about, and that I'm part of that, and that I've been forgiven. It's a beautiful thing. People aren't up here at the podium beating us down with things so they can control us. That's what happens in modern religion. They fail to see any of this. Guess what? Heaven's going to have very few people in it, sadly. Because to fully understand this and accept it is very hard, because you've got to get rid of your ego. Whether you're here or on the internet, if you have not accepted what Christ did for your salvation, death, burial, and resurrection, you have to believe that. If you believe it and accept it, you are justified. That's all there is to salvation. There's no dancing through the hoops. There's no coming forward. There's no doing this or doing that. It's acceptance. It's a very personal relationship you have with God. Because why? It was a very personal relationship he has with you. Was not God in Christ reconciling the world? Did he feel some of that pain too? Yes. And it's that personal. So we don't care what you do. We don't care how much tithing you bring in. We don't care how many times you mow the lawn or rake the leaves or sweep the front door. You know, wonderful people do some great. Doesn't matter. This is all that matters ever. Period. Plus nothing. Nothing. It's not. It's actually very difficult because your ego is no longer involved.
Amen.
You can no longer say, "Look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I did." That's gone. No ego. It's all gone. And thank you for this, because I'm going
to
cry. Go ahead.
But Dave, it's easier to live by the law than it is by faith.
Yes, it's easier because you can keep track of stuff.
Right.
I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. I've crossed this one off. I've handed out the towels. You know, I've made my special breakfast,
right,
okay, for people. Okay? Whatever it is, you follow me? That's the law. That's people living that way. And that, my friends, is misery. There is no joy in Mudville when you're doing that. And so many people do that. Their whole lives are full of angst. Their whole lives are full of disappointment because they fail to see what God has for them. And it's easier for them to do that because what? Parents did that. Their grandparents did that. It's a tradition. I've been in this church for four generations. It doesn't make it right, folks. Just because you've been here forever doesn't make it right. Read your Bibles. Understand the difference. That's right. Okay? That's where we need to go. And that's when you understand that, your life becomes exponentially better and easier and more full of joy and more at peace. More at peace. The peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. Yeah, it's all there for you. That doesn't come by working hard and raking the leaves and sweeping the door and bringing breakfast. You know? That's right. That's it. Bob's done. There we go. We must recognize that this wicked old nature is a real part of our lives. The old man can be put away or managed, but not eliminated. We must always recognize our sinful nature and therefore the need of a Savior. This recognition of our sinful old nature is an important element in our belief. After all, how can we seek salvation if we do not know we are full of sin? Richard brings that up a lot. My wife said, bring this up. You're going to need this because you're going to cry. And she's right. Okay. If we don't know our sin nature, we cannot accept this. Okay? You got it. Very important. Very important. All of us, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are covered through Christ. Our spiritual nature is perfect in God's eyes. Perfect. Perfect. When he sees Dave, he doesn't see that evil thought I just had, or the evil way I did this, or how I didn't take care of something I should have, or I was mean to somebody, or I ignored somebody. He doesn't see any of that. He sees perfection. He sees me through Jesus' sunglasses. Okay? Perfect. Those little blue blaze glasses you got. He's seeing, that's right, he's seeing me through Jesus' sunglasses. And what is he seeing? Jesus? Perfect. That's why, guess what? We're in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That's it. Yep, can't do it yourself. If we were not placed spiritually into the body of Christ, we could not stand perfect before God. What a great program. When you understand how it all fits together, I'm a member of the body of Christ because as a member of the body of Christ, I stand perfected. Jesus and God. Yeah. Jesus. He sees that the Holy Spirit is with me in there. So it's a combination of all these guys doing the job, okay, to get it done. But what a great place to be. Modern religion will not tell you that. They will not say your place. They don't understand what being in the body of Christ means other than that we're a group together or something. They don't understand it. When you're in the body of Christ, that means spiritually I'm there. Because what did that body do? Already paid the price. Already paid the price, and then God places me into that body that's paid the price. I stand perfect. What a wonderful position to be in. Okay? All of our sins, past, present, future, are covered through Christ. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 19. And this is where not being born again comes in, folks. That's a term that I grew up with too, and I had to change it. I had to change books that I'd written and had it in it. It was all... We're a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sins are gone. Period. History. Past, present, future. Gone. And all things are of God, because they are at that point, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We get to tell other people about what this means. And they're going to say, no, it can't be that easy. And you're going to say, read your Bible. It is what it is. I can't change it. I'm not going to make it more difficult because it doesn't need to be more difficult. It is what it is. But guess what? And I tell this to people all the time. We get talking about spiritual things. You got to let your ego go. You've got to say, I am useless. Nothing I've done, nothing I have done over the years, nothing I did with my grandma, taking care of my uncle, taking care of my grandparents, whatever. None of that matters. My ego has to go away. I have to stand before God totally egoless. To humble, yes, to accept things. And here we go, verse 19. If this doesn't make you think about it a little bit, you need to stop and consider a few things here. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Whew, doesn't get any more personal than that, does it? Yeah, I got one. I got one. I made sure I brought one up here. There we go. I'm fully loaded. I got everything. Yep. The reality is this, folks. God cared enough to be in Christ and reconciling me. That's intimate. That's why we don't do sacrifices anymore. That's why we aren't looking for the kingdom and coming together as a commune. Because guess what? The relationship we have with God today is as intimate. We reflect back the same level of intimacy that he had for us. He had for us by going to the death and paying the price and the pain. Do you think God hurt during? I don't understand it totally, but I'm sure he did. Okay? He was in Christ reconciling the world. I meet him on that same personal level. Look what he did for me personally. I meet him on my same personal level. Not my performance, but my acceptance. It's a wonderful, beautiful, powerful thing. It changed the world if the world understood this. But their ego will not let them do that. Their control will not let them do that. We've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do this, we've got to do that to win favor with God, to clean ourselves up enough with God, to get rid of our old nature enough with God so we can be saved. How many times have you heard that? In so many words, okay? Different ways. It's a very, very sad place to be. The old nature is corruptible and our new nature is incorruptible. These two natures are a daily part of our Christian experience. We will eliminate our old nature when we die or are raptured out of this world. By the way, I'm all big on that September rapture time, okay? Even a lot of my Christian clients who know nothing about grace are picking September too. So I'm all about that. September's good. I have my birthday in August, you know. I'll be 65. We can celebrate it by leaving. All right, there we go. Exactly. Yep. However, I've got written down, in the meantime, God has given us the power to control it. Before being saved, we could not control our old nature, but now we have the power to control it through the Holy Spirit. We have those options now. And guess what? It allows us to be an ambassador for Christ. Okay? We don't do good things because we need to do them. We do good things because it's the right thing to do. And we sense that, and we feel that. It's like, wow, I want to do this. Why? It's the right thing to do. It's as simple as that. Yeah, but you don't know these people. It doesn't matter. I can do it. Let's do it. You know? Whether that's buying kids bicycles, I've done that, paying for groceries, you name it, all sorts of crap. Because it's the right thing to do, and God's given me the means. And so we do it. Feels great. Feels good. Opportunity. Yep. When they go, why do you do that stuff? Or why did you do that for me? Whatever. You can then begin to talk. Yep. You open the door. You get people discussing. It's very, very important. We are free from sin and condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Really important here. This is how we can do this. This is how we can have the power to do what we need to do. You know what? Trisha's got the... She's got two clocks up there now and some other things up there. I can't even see her. So she'll... She did that all I know. She says not see me. I get that, okay? You'll see it. It's pretty interesting. Anyway. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. You know, I love this class. I love joking around. I love everything. But you know what? This is where we're at. And we can be here and we can joke and we can share things because we understand the love of Christ. Because we've been forgiven. Because we can joke with each other and spend that time in positive fellowship. You'll never see me put anybody else down. Self-deprecating humor. It's easy for me to do. I love doing it. Because I make a lot of mistakes. It's easy to joke about them. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're in that Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. We're freed from it. Before we accepted Christ, we were not. It was something we could never deal with, and it controlled our lives. For what the law could not do, in that was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's very hard for people to accept the fact that they are perfect in Christ. Okay? Because we still have all the second nature going on in our bodies, and we're thinking about stuff, and we're angry at Uncle Ned from 12 years ago, and, you know, Margie, who never makes anything and never brings anything to the table when we have the family gatherings. She always comes and eats everybody else's food, never brings anything. You know? What's that? Yeah, exactly. The point is this, folks. I have freedom from that sin now. I can choose not to be upset over it. I can choose to go in a direction. I can choose not to respond to it when somebody's mean to me. When somebody pushes me. I've been in very few fights in my life. Yes, a guy, guys talk about fights. I've been in very few fights in my life. I walked away from many of them. I had to fight in a couple of them. I felt very bad when I hurt other people. But I had to do it. I was forced into it at the time. But you know what? The point is, I had those choices. And I could walk away. You know, just like sin in our lives. You can walk away from it when you can. Do something else. Do something positive instead. How about helping people who are wrestling with difficult things? When you see somebody on the side of the road and you got a bag of food in your car. Oh, I used to do it with these guys by the interstate. I would go buy these breakfast sandwiches. I'd buy like six of them. And I'd bring them over and give them to them. And they were like, why are you doing this? Because I have a relationship with God, with Christ, or whatever. I have a conversation with them. They would gobble that stuff. They'd look for my car. When my car came, they'd all come out because they knew the breakfast sandwiches were coming.
You told them you loved them, didn't
you? Yeah, I love them as people, yes. Yeah, right. And they needed help, whatever. Opportunities are everywhere. How many sad people, instead of going, oh, it's another sad person on the side of the road, make one. I mean, what do I do when these people hold up these signs? They're looking for money. I don't keep any money in my car, so I can't really help them. What do we all do? Yeah, you kind of look away. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I don't want to get eye contact here because I can't help them anyway. So, I mean, the sad part is that's the reality of the world. When you can help, help. When somebody's hurting, help. When their family's going through a difficult time, help. When pastor's homesick, I've texted him 2 or 3 times. You need anything, let me know. I'll pick it up and bring it to you, whatever. You know, I'm not doing that because I'm trying to win favor with Byron. I'm Byron's best guy no matter what. No. I'm doing that because I have a car and I have free time, or more free time, because when I'm not out of town, I run my own company. So if I... No, seriously, if I can get away for a couple hours to do something, I can. I don't have a boss standing over me. Irma, you know, she's come home till 3. She just come home till 3:30, 4 o'clock. The point is, what's that? That's right. We have those opportunities to live for God and do things. Because, yes, our two natures are there, but we control the bad one. We do the best we can. What do we do when we sin and hurt somebody? Solve the problem. Make it right. Go back to them and say, I'm sorry. I did this. I did that. How many times have you done that? And they said, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. Okay. I at least tried. Okay? I at least tried. I wrestled for years with anger at my first wife after the divorce because it was her choice, not mine. Years. I'm not sure I'm totally over it, but I'm getting closer.
You better get over it.
That's it. The sad part is we had that second nature, okay? So we have to learn to work with it. I have no idea where I'm at my piece of paper here, but 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 3, verse 17. Yeah, let's go there real quick. Yep, 17. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hey, good verse.
Okay? We're freed. We go to bed every night at peace. Okay? Unless you get those stupid songs in your head at night when you're laying in the pillow and you can't get rid of them and you can't fall asleep and you keep hearing them. Oh man, I get that. It's always the same songs too. It's like three of them that keep interrupting my life. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. This is really important because the Galatians were being brought back underneath the law. Okay? Because Paul went and said this and this and this, and they said, yeah, but. They were sticking stuff back in the picture. Okay? And you're going to see that in modern religion. Yes, you're saved by faith in Christ, but, and they're going to toss something else on it. That's the nature of man. Okay? What is the verse here? Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I have seen people who understood the grace, understood their position in grace, and went back to a church to be full of that. I didn't understand it. I really didn't. I asked them about it. They're like, well, it just kind of feels comfortable. That's what you like, you know. So, yeah. Very sad. Very sad. Because all of a sudden they're back underneath all this bondage, all these performance issues, all these things they need to do to win favor, certainly with the people in their own church, but in many cases to win favor with God. And their whole motivation in life shifted. Now they were trying to do these performances instead of reaching out with the finished work of Christ. If I have to perform a whole bunch for a church, I've lost the goal of the church, which is to reach others for Christ, to get the gospel out. That's what we should be doing. Okay? And each of us, that's a good point. Each of us does that our own way. I know you go to the streets. That's wonderful. You know, go beat them up. That's great. I mean, everybody's got their own way of doing it. You know, I do a lot of things through business. I got that business relationship going. I slide something in slowly and try to get something going. Everybody's got opportunities in their life. Irma's the last person a lot of these prisoners see before they go back into the real world. And she talks to them. So we all have different ways of doing that. All of them are good. All of them are wonderful. And they're all special, and they feel wonderful to be able to share the gospel with people and reach some. Not reach others, but plant lots of seeds. I have had the opportunity of people come back to me. You told me about this 10 years ago, and it finally made sense. You know, it came back, okay? And I was like, I did? I guess, exactly. I have an old girlfriend from high school. She talks about the fact that I led her to Christ back in the day, and I don't remember a thing about doing that, okay? I remember dating her. I remember, you know, the usual shenanigans that kids in high school deal with. I don't remember her being led to Christ, but she said, you're the one who led me to my Savior. She talks about it still, all these years later. So you never know, okay? You never know. Opportunities are everywhere. Take a shot. All people can do. The worst thing that always happens to me, not the worst thing, but the thing I hear a lot is like, well, that's good for you. That's good for you. No one jumps out and starts to punch me or anything, you know, or cuts me off or never talks to me again. Oh, that's good for you. I'm glad it's okay for you. That's kind of what you get from people if they don't want to hear anything. Okay? No, it doesn't. Things happen. You know? Our liberty in Christ, our new liberty from sin has a responsible element that goes with it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 14. Okay? Should be right there again. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use it, no, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but the love to serve one another. Boy, that's the focus right there, okay? For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We have the freedom to live for God, not to live ungodly. Sometimes people, when they first understand grace, go, woohoo, all right, a cover, let's go crazy. And they do, okay? I did. Lots of people do. But guess what? Very quickly, they're in misery because they're out of fellowship with God. They're in the wrong position. They're not getting any benefit from it. You've seen Dave's crazy circle. Oh, by the way, this is my email address. If you'd like a copy of this stuff, you know, get a hold of me from Internet Land. This is Dave's crazy circle. This is where God wants us to live. And he sets it up. And he says, man, it's smart to be like this. Do this and you're going to get benefit from it. It's a good way to live. It's a good way to be. It's a good way to... And Dave lives. Guess what? These are miserable times when I'm outside of the fellowship with God. God still sees me. perfect in Christ, but I don't get the benefit of a relationship with God or people or fellowship at all. Not expedient. Exactly. We need to understand that. That's where the responsibility comes in. It's our ability to understand that, and that's part of our second nature again. Understand, second nature's over here. I can rein that in. Let's go here instead. Okay? Let's not go there. Opportunity's right there. Let's not do it. Let's do something else. I have the choice now. Okay? And that's what God wants for us. He wants for us to be successful. He wants for us to be joyful. He wants for us to be happy. He wants for us to set an example as ambassadors to the world. He wants people to look at us and go, what's going on with those people? They're different. They think differently. They operate differently. Why would you do that? Whatever it is, okay? Whatever it is. It's a different way of thinking, a different way of looking at things.
Dave, do you think he really wants us to make the right
choice? Absolutely. And it's for our own benefit.
Do that right. It's for our own benefit.
It's for our own benefit. And he wants us to share the love of Christ with the world. Recently on Facebook, I cut back on some of the stupid jokes that I would put up. Because one of the gentlemen, a little judgmental on his part perhaps, over in Mobile said, wait a minute, you preach the gospel and this isn't that funny, okay? I'm like, okay, so maybe I won't put it up. He was right. Some of the sarcastic little pictures I'd put up or whatever weren't really good, tasteful things. I cut that out. Because I don't want that to be my image. And to me, it didn't mean anything, but to him it did.
It
was done instantly.
It is?
Instantly it's done. Now you're going to still deal with it. But it's done as far as God's concerned.
You know,
yes.
Yes.
But it's cut away. Right? Instantly cut away. It's gone. That doesn't mean we're not going to participate in it, but it's gone as far as God's concerned. And you have the power over it. You know? So, new body. You know? Instantaneous. New creature. Absolutely. Instantaneous. We have the freedom from sin to live for God, not to live ungodly. Here's where we see many believers misunderstand this liberty and end up in a very unhappy Christian experience, confused and frustrated. We are to live for God and to be spiritually focused because we are His children, and this is what we are called to do. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17 again. What am I doing here? Time-wise? All right, good. I still got an hour. We're good. There we go. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. That puts you equal balance. Not subjoint heirs. Christ is first and we're under Him. No, joint heirs with Christ. What a wonderful place to be. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. All right? Just move on down. Our natural focus and response to our position in grace should be doing God's work, considering what He has done in place for us and what He has given us already. We are dead to sin, which allows us to make the choice to live for God. Okay? That's the old nature, the new nature. We can make those decisions, okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 3, or chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. Let's go to that set of verses. Romans chapter 6, 3 through 4. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized unto His death? Okay? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. When we accept this, we've paid the price with Him. It is crazy. It's a spiritual thing. Yep. We are totally, totally taken care of here. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto His death. Boom. Okay? That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of His Father, even so even we also should walk in newness of life. When you accept this, you've gone through this.
In the mind of God.
Yes. Do it.
Yeah.
The, The price is paid and is paid by Christ, and I become part of the body of Christ. God sees me perfect. Now, if Irma would see me perfect, I'd have it all made, but you know. There we go, man. It's Father's Day, what the heck, you know? But the reality is that it's important. Yeah, it's important to understand that that's the reality, okay? All right? We should walk in newness of life. We should walk confidently and positively being in the body of Christ. Yes?
I fail challenges.
And God takes care of those. Yep. No, say it isn't so.
I do it all the time. Sure. And I'm like, when can I stop this stuff?
You'll never. It's part of who you are. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
When I get you guys a day, maybe it'll be better.
Let me say this. You've added a lot to this group, okay? Good stuff, all right? Just understand that. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. One of my favorite set of verses in the Bible. Okay? And how do we do this? We do this by what we're doing right now in Sunday school every day and in church every week. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, after what God has done, everything he's done for me. Wow, this makes logic sense. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, they present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which what? Which is your reasonable service. It makes sense that you would do this. Given all this, it would make sense that you would do this. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is what? Studying? Spending time? Now, how many of you read your Bibles now differently than you did years ago? I would read my Bible years ago and just read the words.
Right.
Yeah, I just run through the words and go, okay, I read chapter XYZ. What did I get out of it? I read the chapter XYZ. I had to suffer through some of those wordings, but I read it. Now, I don't read the whole chapter at a time. We'll read little pieces of it and then kind of think about what it meant. You study. Studying is not just reading. Studying is spending a little bit of time trying to analyze it a little bit. What's going on here? What's happening here? Studying is what we do in class here when we learn about things and apply them to our lives so we can go home with them every week and do something with them, okay? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may provide what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to understand your people ask me, how do you know the will of God? Study. Guess what? All these doors that you think you're going to go through, oh, this one will close, and this one will close, and this one will close, so you have to go this way. And then all of a sudden this one will close, and now you're going this way. God takes care of that. You just move forward. He'll get you in the right place.
Amen.
You know, people spend their time going, I want to figure out the will of God. Just go forward, and the will of God will find you. Okay? And opportunities. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answers go, ding, I could do this instead. And it had nothing to do with anything you were reading necessarily, but God has refocused your mind.
Open your mind, man.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. So we can, with God's help, control, but never eliminate the old nature until we die or are raptured out of this world. So what do we do? And how do we feel when our old nature flares up and we act in an ungodly fashion? Should we feel defeated and spend a long time in remorse and sadness? This is difficult for a lot of people. No, you shouldn't feel it at all. You should realize what you did, solve the problem, go back and take care of it, and move on. Try to avoid doing it again, obviously, if it's not the right thing to do. But to spend hours and days in remorse and sadness is not what God wants you to do. He wants you to be an ambassador. He wants you to be forward with people. He wants you to help others. And so when you make those mistakes, you make those mistakes. Does it happen? Absolutely. Is it difficult to go to somebody after you've offended them and say, I had to go there and go, hey, I apologize. That was that joke didn't come across right. You know, and I didn't mean it that way. And sometimes they'll go, yeah, exactly. Sometimes they'll say, okay, that's great. Sometimes. Yep. Sometimes they'll say, no, forget it, I won't talk to you. Okay, but at least you tried, okay? All right. Or should we make amends with those we have hurt or sinned against and realize our sinful nature in order and our need of salvation? Then turn back to God, the grace of God, and be thankful for a position in Christ. That's what we should be at. Okay? As a believer, here we go. Nice. As a believer, we do have control, and we can make many right choices in how we live our lives. This is where our daily focus must be. However, wow, Rudy's chiming in. This is good. It must be hitting. We're hitting home. When we fail, we should look for the grace of God and make amends to those we've hurt or affected and move on victoriously. All right? Learn from our mistakes. Share the love of Christ with others. The more you learn from your mistakes, guess what? You won't make the same ones as many times. Okay? You do get better. I'm going to be 65, so I'm right near perfection now. I'm just really close to it. That's it. But that's where we're at. And that's what I understand. When we understand those two natures, folks, we understand how to live with them. We understand how to give back to the world what God has already given us. We understand that our motivation and focus in the world is not what we can get from the world, but what can we give to the world. That's where it all starts, and that's where it all needs to be. And our joy and our peace and joy in life comes from being at peace with God because we know we're forgiven, no matter what those sins are, no matter what those things are, because we've let our ego go and accepted the finished work of Christ. Amen. The death, burial, resurrection, which causes our justification. Amen. Believe it or not, a lot of that is taught. There's no justification in that package for a lot of people in religion. Jesus died on the cross. Now, let's get to the aisle here and come out of the aisle and let's go do some baptism. And let's go do this and let's go do that. There's a million add-ons. Yes. Extra. Oh, this C? Yeah, that's it. All right. But you know what? Byron has done a great job at letting this congregation grow and letting people come into it and teach and having us all grow with one another and move forward. That's what it's all about. You don't realize how many grace churches do not have two or three different teachers. They have one. You know? And that's a wonderful thing for all of us to enjoy, the blessings of that. And helping each other and doing whatever we can for each other whenever those opportunities arise. That's what life's all about. Amen. Being an ambassador for Christ. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities we have each week to share the love of Christ in some way, in some fashion. We'd ask that you'd help each of us to reach out to somebody who knows nothing about the gospel. And through one of our actions or situations, we can share with them the gospel in a simple way, in a way that helps them to see the truth and become saved themselves and give up their ego and become part of the body of Christ. We ask to give each of us these opportunities this week in your name. Amen. Amen. Oh. All right.